Hey everyone, welcome back. If we pick up a modern controller and wonder just how we got here, this time we're diving deep into the history of video game controllers.
From those chunky beginnings to the sleek designs of today, it's a wild ride.
It really is. We'll trace how each innovation, each button added, changed not just how we play, but the very games we play.
Exactly. It's a story about technology, sure, but more than that, it's about creativity and how we experience those digital worlds.
So, picture this. The 1970s, arcades are king, and the tech is, well, let's just say simpler times.
Simpler, but don't let that fool you. Those limitations sparked some serious ingenuity.
Right. Think about Pong, 1972. Two paddles, a dot on the screen, and boom, a phenomenon is born.
Pong proved that you didn't need complex controls to create engaging gameplay. Pure, simple fun.
And then came Space Invaders, 1978, and with it, a game changer. Literally. The joystick.
Ah, the joystick. This marked a turning point, giving players more direct control than ever before.
Suddenly, you could dodge and weave, adding a whole new layer of strategy to games.
It paved the way for the action-packed genres we know and love today.
Totally. But the real revolution began as gaming moved from arcades to our living rooms. Enter the 1980s, home consoles take center stage, and leading the charge.
Atari, with the Atari 2600 in 1977, that iconic single-button joystick, it's practically a museum piece now.
But back then, it was cutting edge.
And incredibly inviting, simple to pick up, anyone could understand it, which was key for bringing gaming into homes.
It was all about accessibility. Then, in 85, Nintendo shook things up with the NES.
And the legendary D-pad.
Talk
about precision. Platformers. Fighting games. They wouldn't be the same without it.
It became the industry standard, still going strong today.
Of course, where there's success, there's competition. Sega jumps in with the Master System, same year, experimenting with their own D-pad variations.
The console wars were heating up, and that rivalry pushed innovation like crazy. But those 90s, those were something else. The 90s, what a time for gaming. We're talking serious evolution, both in the games themselves and how we played them.
It was a turning point. Games went 3D, and controllers scrambled to keep up.
First up, 1990, the Super Nintendo, the SNES, and its controller, iconic.
Still influencing designs today. That diamond layout of the face buttons, genius. Plus, shoulder buttons.
Game changer. Suddenly you could control so much more, adding layers of complexity to actions.
And then, 94, the PlayStation arrives, and with it, a true revolution. The DualShock.
Talk about a legend. The DualShock changed everything, especially for 3D gaming.
Before that, moving around in 3D was, well, clunky at best.
You're telling me. But those dual analog sticks, game changer.
Precise, intuitive, gave you freedom of movement like never before.
It's hard to imagine a 3D game without them now.
And let's not forget, the DualShock also gave us rumble.
Oh man, that first time feeling the rumble kick in, I was hooked.
Such a simple thing, vibration feedback, but it added so much.
Totally. Suddenly you weren't just seeing the action, you were feeling it. Immersion went way up.
And the 90s kept pushing boundaries. Remember light guns, dance pads?
Don't forget those early racing game steering wheels.
Developers were experimenting like crazy, blurring the line between game and reality.
But then, Y2K is on the horizon, a new millennium, and gaming's about to get even wilder.
The 2000s. Motion controls, baby. Nintendo, once again, they shook things up with the Wii.
2006, the Wii and that Wiimote. Pure genius.
Talk about intuitive design. Swing the Wiimote, you swing a tennis racket, bowl a strike, conduct an orchestra.
It was revolutionary. And it wasn't just for hardcore gamers anymore. Everyone was playing.
Families, casual players, the Wii opened so many doors.
Of course, Sony and Microsoft, they couldn't just sit back, enter the PlayStation Move and Xbox Kinect.
2010, both aiming to take motion controls even further. The Move went for precision, those glowing orbs tracked by the camera.
And Kinect. Whoa. They ditched the controller entirely. Just you, the camera, and the game world.
Ambitious, definitely. But both faced hurdles, accuracy being a big one. And not enough games really took advantage of what they could do.
For sure. But those experiments, they paved the way for what we're seeing in VR and AR today.
And speaking of revolutions, mobile gaming, late 2000s, early 2010s, it exploded.
Everyone had a smartphone, and touchscreens, well, they became the new controller.
Angry Birds, Fruit Ninja, Candy Crush, simple, addictive, they took over the world.
Touchscreens made gaming truly accessible, but let's be real, they're not perfect.
Try playing a complex fighting game or an intricate platformer on a touchscreen. It's not ideal.
That lack of tactile feedback, man. Sometimes you just need to feel that button pressed.
And don't even get me started on accidental inputs. One minute you're about to win, next minute your finger slips. Game over.
Frustrating. But hey, they changed the game, literally. Made gaming more portable, more immediate.
And then virtual reality starts stepping out of the sci-fi movies and into our living rooms.
Mid-2010s, Oculus Rift, HTC Vive, VR was finally happening. Mm-hmm. But they needed new ways to interact, right?
Enter a whole new breed of controllers. And that, my friend, is a story for part three of our deep dive.
VR, talk about a game changer. But like we were saying, it needed a whole new way to interact to really make you feel present in those virtual worlds.
And that's where controllers took another leap forward.
Big time. 2016, Oculus Rift, HTC Vive, both come out swinging, right? And those controllers were a huge part of what made them so immersive.
Absolutely. The Oculus Touch controllers, those were something else.
Yeah. So natural to hold. Like you just put them on and it clicked.
They really nailed that feeling of your hands just becoming part of the game world. The way you could pick things up, move them around, so intuitive.
I remember the first time I tried them. Picking up a virtual cube and tossing it from hand to hand, it blew my mind.
It was a whole new level of immersion. And the HTC Vive controllers, they took a different approach.
Right, more focused on precision. Right.
Exactly. Mm. That laser tracking system they used, you could pinpoint things in VR with incredible accuracy. It was like being right there in the game world. Every tiny movement mattered.
And Sony, they weren't about to miss out on the VR revolution. They took their PlayStation Move controllers, already out there, and bam, adapted them for VR.
Smart move. It gave PlayStation owners a more affordable way to jump into VR. And Sony's kept pushing things forward, their latest headset, even more impressive.
Definitely. But VR's not the only game in town anymore, is it? Augmented reality, AR, that's got a lot of potential too.
Oh, for sure. Imagine interacting with digital stuff, but it's overlaid right onto your actual world. No headset, just using your hands, maybe even your eyes to control things.
Some VR headsets are already doing hand tracking, right?
Yeah. It's still early days, but the tech's getting better all the time. And eye tracking, that could be huge. Imagine just looking at something in a game to interact with it.
Whoa. That's next level stuff. It's wild to think how far we've come, but there's something else happening too, right? Something really important, making gaming more accessible for everyone.
Absolutely. And Microsoft's Xbox Adaptive Controller, that's a perfect example.
2018, that thing was a game changer.
Yeah.
In the best way possible.
Yeah. Truly revolutionary. It's not just a controller, it's like a hub. People with disabilities can plug in all sorts of custom buttons, joysticks, whatever they need.
So they can create a controller that works for them, not the other way around.
Exactly. It's about inclusivity, making sure everyone can experience the joy of gaming.
It's fantastic. More and more developers are getting on board with accessibility too. Customizable controls, colorblind modes, difficulty settings. It's becoming the norm, which is awesome. So we've covered a lot of ground, from those early paddles to motion controls, touchscreens, VR, AR, the future of how we play games. Who knows what's next?
One thing's for sure, it's going to be exciting. Haptic feedback, that's one to watch. Imagine feeling the texture of a surface, the weight of an object in VR, all through the controller.
That'll be insane.
Yeah.
But it gets even wilder, right? Brain-computer interfaces, controlling games with your mind.
That's the kind of tech that could revolutionize gaming, but we gotta be careful too. Ethical considerations, privacy, all that comes into play.
Definitely. Can't forget about AI either. Imagine controllers that learn how you play, adjust on the fly to help you out.
We're already seeing glimpses of that. But as AI gets more sophisticated, who knows what'll be possible?
It's incredible. From those clunky beginnings to all this mind-blowing potential, it really shows how much creativity goes into not just the games, but how we play them.
That's the thing about video game controllers. They're a window into our relationship with technology. They're tools of creativity, gateways to new worlds, and they're always evolving.
So true. Well, that's our deep dive into the amazing world of video game controllers. Thanks for coming along for the ride.